Welcome to Stockhouse.com's Fireside Chat, where you get the lowdown on the sectors, the companies, and the trends shaping your investment dollar.
Trevali Mining, currently trading on the TSX under the symbol TV, is part of a relatively rare breed of mining companies in the junior mining sector who have taken projects from exploration to production. This Vancouver-based pure zinc play continues to meet and exceed market expectations by continuing to grow resource numbers and production levels. Hi, I'm Galen Engen, head of editorial at Stockhouse Publishing, and I'm speaking with Dr. Mark Cruz, president, CEO, and director of Trevali Mining. We're going to get a closer look at the company, its successes, and future potential. So thanks for joining me, Mark.
No problem, Galen. Thanks for the opportunity.
So first off, Mark, for those who are still unfamiliar with Trevali Mining, can you give us a brief explanation of what the company is?
Absolutely. Really at a very high level, back in kind of 2007, 2008, we saw a bit of a niche in the market and in zinc and commodity space. At that time, we kind of recognized that no one was looking for zinc, no one was discovering zinc, and no one was building any zinc mines. Kind of dialing forward with, you know, closures, which are finally happening, we saw kind of space for us to build our own mid-tier zinc company. Mm-hmm. And really, that's what we've been doing in the interim, period. We've got our first mine in Peru, and Santander, it's entering its third year of production. And we're currently in the process of finishing off commissioning of our second mine in New Brunswick, which should be later on in this quarter.
Now, those projects included the Santander mine and the Caribou mine. Are there other projects that customers or the investors should be aware about?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, we are unique in that we are the only pure zinc play in the TSX. So certainly well north of 50% of our revenue comes from zinc concentrate sales. Mm-hmm. And certainly with potential or anticipated shortages, that amount of revenue should, as the zinc prices increase, will increase as well going forward. But really, you know, the focus at this point in time is getting our second mine up and running, Caribou. Like I said, that should be declare commercial production on that later this quarter. But also in the background, we've got two other deposits, Half Mile, approximately 12 million tons global resource, 6 million indicated, 6 million inferred, and Scrap Matter, again, a global resource of about 7.5 million tons, again, open for expansion. So we're currently in the process of updating our engineering studies on that, and that should be done certainly early the second half of this year. And one of the things we're looking at is, okay, after, you know, we've commissioned and, optimized our Caribou mine, what's next for the company? And certainly we believe in internal organic growth is probably the lowest risk and most cost effective. So certainly that study will look at, does it make sense to build a second mining unit in New Brunswick? Mm-hmm. And, contingent on results, obviously, and more work needs to be done. But should that come to pass, that would make us one of the larger zinc-producing districts in certainly North America and Europe at that point in time.
Now, your flagship project, I should say, the Santander mine, it continues to be a strong producer. But over the last 12 months, you guys have continually made some serious efforts to expand its resource potential. In fact, you guys announced at the beginning of April that you discovered multiple stacked high-grade lead zinc silver zones at the project. Can you give us details about this announcement and what it means for Santander?
Yeah, I mean, all our zones we're actively mining at the moment in Santander, and they're all new discoveries by Trevali, are all open for expansion. So certainly, you know, we have been doing, I'd call it minimal exploration. Obviously, market conditions for the sector haven't been the best, you know, certainly in the second half of 2015. But one thing the exploration team has been able to do since 2013 is replace what we've mined on an annual basis. Mm-hmm. So in Peru, we run a rolling five-year mine plan. Mm-hmm. We do recognize everything is open. Clearly, you know, a lot of management time, effort, and funding is going into our second mine in order to de-risk us technically and financially. But we're getting set up for a pretty significant exploration program, hopefully later this year, but it may stretch into 2017. But we do keep finding significant mineralization at Santander. We do know, based on results to date, that the zinc grade is increasing as we get deeper. Mm-hmm. And instead of one lens, which we're actively mining now, we're getting multiple stacked lenses, which would have been that news release approximately a month ago. Mm-hmm. So the team is currently following up on that. And we do know that the downhole geophysics suggests mineralization extends, you know, significantly deeper than our deepest borehole to date. Mm-hmm. So we see it as very low risk exploration. And we know we're going to hit massive sulfide. We obviously don't know the grade of it, but nevertheless, You know, we've yet to miss at Santander in, you know, basically drilling since 2008. Pretty much 95-96% of the drill holes have hit sulfide mineralization. So, you know, good bang for the buck, discovery cost of less than a penny a pound of zinc equivalent. And certainly short to medium term, we see no reason why we can't continue with that track record and probably grow it as well.
Now, your guys' relationship with Glencore at Santander, how is that impacting the company and how has it helped you bring that along?
No, it's been fantastic. Glencore is one of our larger shareholders. They own approximately 5% of the company. We're also very fortunate they invested in the company back in 2012, I believe. It's been a while ago now. And we're very fortunate that the global head of zinc operations for Glencore also sits on our board. So certainly gives us a great depth of knowledge on zinc and, you know, broad markets as well as, you know, a major company has. Mm-hmm. But what it allowed us to do at Santander, it allowed us to, you know, our fast track to production. Mm-hmm. So certainly Glencore provided the funding for us to get up and running to production. And really that was in a combination of moving a former processing plant that they owned to site. And we're buying it off them, but we're getting it, you know, at market price. So certainly cheaper and faster than building our own standalone. Mm-hmm. And also they have mining professionals working on site as a joint team, the Santander operations team. Mm-hmm. So as a junior company, allowed us to get us there faster and certainly materially cheaper than had we tried to do it ourselves. And they also buy the concentrates off us. So, you know, we shipped our concentrates to the port in Lima and we get paid market price for them. And then obviously Glencore then looks after all the logistics, which as a small company can be quite a challenge. So at least it flows into their kind of trading arm. Mm-hmm. And then they obviously, you know, the zinc goes to Asia.
So what are then, in your mind, some of the major milestones that Trevally has managed to hit in the last 12 months?
Certainly, in the last 12 months, at a Peru level, the team has been incredibly successful in dropping costs on site. Mm-hmm. So we really dropped costs by about almost 13 to 14% in 2015. Mm-hmm. So our all-in site costs at Santander are approximately US $38 per ton. And mm-hmm. That's mine, milling, camp costs, and everything else. So certainly one of the lower cost producers in the central mineral belt of Peru. Mm-hmm. And they've also managed to increase the tonnage through the mill as well. So a bit of a double whammy or double benefit there. Mm-hmm. And that certainly we think we can, you know, there's a few other business initiatives going in this year, and we hope to be in a position to drop costs by a further 5% going forward. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, obviously, as we touched on before, exploration is replacing what we found and actually growing the resources as well. Mm-hmm. And they are obviously thicker and higher grade. So that certainly bodes well for the future. So that's in Peru. So we're very pleased with operations there. In Cariboo, we're obviously restarting. You know, painful in Q4. All commodity prices were depressed. Mm-hmm. But the team has done a good job basically restarting operations. Our lead recoveries are at nameplate levels at this point in time. And we're just finishing off the zinc recoveries. And certainly we're in line with the plan and in guidance that we've given to the market. So certainly that's something we hope to have finished and declare commercial production later in Q2 this quarter. Okay. So certainly, you know, we're pretty pleased with the team and we've been able to execute what we said we'd do. Mm-hmm. And certainly the, you know, the things that we can control, we've managed to deliver on those. And we see a lot of upside going forward as well.
So that said, or that considered, how do you view then the zinc space, the zinc market in the next, let's say, 2 years? Where do you see it heading?
It's you know, I think it will strengthen our commodity prices, will strengthen fundamentally. Really with zinc, I mean, global demand is actually positive, between 2-3%, so you could argue muted. But nevertheless, I mean, there's been an awful lot of zinc supply has come offline. And a lot of it is just mines that were simply exhausted. So these were big, you know, mining units that were either built in the kind of 60s and 70s, which mm-hmm. Brunswick 12, our neighbor out in New Brunswick, closed about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Or more recent mines kind of in the late 1990s, that was Century in Australia and the Machine Mine in Ireland. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've taken off about, probably about 4-5% of global supplies just disappeared. It's not coming back. There's nothing in the global pipeline to replace that short to medium term. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think most people, I think there is general consensus that zinc prices will have to strengthen. Mm-hmm. based on historical performance, what we do know is when zinc runs, it tends to run hard. And when it kind of it gets that escape velocity, it tends to run pretty spectacularly. So we're kind of on the cusp at the moment. I think there's been steady drawdowns on the global stockpiles from both London and in Shanghai. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing that reflected in the annual negotiations between the smelters and the miners. Mm-hmm. So they were settled about a month ago, and there was a very significant drop. So last year, as miners, you know, the smelters charged us $245 US to treat our concentrates. So that was the global benchmark. Mm-hmm. This year, they've settled for $188. So that's a material decrease. In fact, the largest ever one-year decrease in tolling charges and treatment charges that are charged by the smelters. Mm-hmm. And certainly what our contacts are telling us is that, you know, they are expected to continue dropping over the next couple of years. So really what this would, you know, I think one interpretation will be this is a fundamental, you know, there's just not enough concentrate supply out there. The smelters mm-hmm. are obviously competing against each other. And mm-hmm. So it certainly bodes well for zinc miners. And obviously, you know, clearly as our main commodity, it really does put us in a good position, especially, you know, with two mines up and running. And, you know, pretty much should be well optimized at that point in time.
Now, how are the books then? Like, are we going to see another financing in the near term?
No, at this point in time, I mean, Q4 was painful. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. you know, zinc dropped to $1,500 per ton, not really based on fundamentals, but nonetheless, the price was the price. Mm-hmm. From where we are now, I mean, based on global zinc supply, given that the TCs have settled materially lower, at these levels, we were in pretty good shape. So based on progress to date, technical progress to date, we don't foresee any need at this point in time. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if something, you know, out of our control or fundamental happens globally, that kind of changes the overall macro picture. But really, from where we are now, we're in pretty good shape. Our Peruvian mine is cash flow positive. Mm-hmm. Obviously very efficient, and we really just need to dot the I's and cross the T's at Cariboo, declare commercial production, and then obviously flip from when you're commissioning its money out the door. And we're really at, almost at that pivot point where we, you know, site will start covering its own costs and then start transitioning to positive economics as we continue to fill the mill, get to those nameplate recoveries.
Right. So what would you say then to investors who are considering Trevali Mining as an addition to their portfolio?
I think as of all the base metals, and we're hearing this from London LME Week, general consensus and the various, you know, global think tanks, you know, zinc has got the strongest fundamental short to medium term. So certainly from now to the next 2 to 3 years, I think some zinc exposure is good. There's very few ways to play zinc. So certainly, you know, if you want zinc exposure, we're the most torqued to zinc. And that can go both ways. We saw that in December and January when zinc dropped, you know, our share price cratered. So it is a two-way avenue. But if you fundamentally believe in a strengthening zinc price environment, you do want zinc exposure. And we are the best way to get that, you know, unadulterated zinc exposure at this point in time.
That really is a good story. I mean, you guys are putting things forward and actually making things happen. Trevali Mining seems to be firing on all pistons. And as zinc regains its momentum in the market, the company is going to continue to enhance its shareholder value while continuing to earn solid revenues on consistent production. Its current share price value, in my mind, is a bargain, considering what it's done and what it holds. Investors, I think, would be wise to keep this one on their radar, but don't take my word for it. As always, do your own due diligence before making any investment decision. Again, Trevali Mining trades on the TSX under the symbol TV. I'm Galen Engen, and I've been speaking with Dr. Mark Cruz, President, CEO, and Director of Trevali Mining. And thanks for taking time to talk with me today, Mark.
Oh, thank you once again. Cheers.